Welcome to Mama Doesn't Tell Lies. It's the podcast series that's uplifting and real and gives you the truth bombs that you can handle while talking parenthood. Spawned from a desire to know more, while also wishing that someone who had done it all before had shared their stories. Each episode, we talk about something true and something real. This mama here, along with my guest hosts each episode, don't tell lies. So if you're a parent, want to be a parent, or just appreciate a giggle, strap yourself in for the ride and let's do it. Welcome to another episode of Mama Doesn't Tell Lies. I am talking to the founder today of the Bad Mums Club, which is creating social change by empowering women. Lisa Crochet Boyce is an energetic, honest, and engaging speaker. And she is the founder, as I said, of the Bad Mums Club. She's real, she's authentic, and has talked extensively about her experiences of parenting, motherhood, and all the things in between. Hello and welcome to Mother Doesn't Tell Lies.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now you are coming to us live from your pod cave, which is very exciting that you've actually got a dedicated space that shows that you are totally into this.
Yeah, it's under the stairs. It's nice and quiet. It's like my own little private creative space. Our house, as you know, with kids, just has stuff everywhere all the time. I'm allowed to have this one all to myself.
How many kids have you got?
I've got two, but it feels like 50 in the whirlwind of toys and tantrums. So my daughter is almost six and my son is almost four. So we've had not the journey that I thought we would have together, if I'm perfectly honest, if we want to go there. It's been a bit of a transition process that I wasn't prepared for. I always wanted to be a mother and I was really excited to be a mother, but things didn't go to plan as they normally don't. But I felt that I didn't have the coping skills or the education on what motherhood was, like the real legit version of motherhood and what you should expect. Been a roller coaster.
Well, let's start there. Let's start with that education before you have kids. So the first question I always like to ask people as they join me in the pod studio, the pod cave that I will now forever call it, is what is the piece of advice that you wish someone had pulled you aside and said, hey, just a heads up, I think I should let you know this.
It is one of those things that we place a lot of heaviness around, taking advice, holding people's advice, being open to people's advice. I desperately wanted to know the answer. I wanted to fix something and I wanted to get it right. I wanted to be perfect. So I just opened myself up to all kinds of advice instead of trusting my gut. We have within us the ability to literally do whatever we choose and we put our mind to, be it motherhood or queen of the universe. We just have to believe in ourselves and go with our feeling, our intuition and our gut. There's nothing in the guidebooks of motherhood that can really honestly prepare us. And I think that anyone who gives you advice is coming from their own experience. Often it's given without really understanding the heaviness of the words on that person, on that mother, on that expecting mother, on that mother desperately wanting to know. So often we hear, you know, oh, just go to sleep when they're asleep. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, like, because I've got a million and other one things to do. I wish I could just switch my brain off and rest. Like I wish I could, but I can't. Or it's just a phase or it's just a milestone or have a little me time that is contingent between breastfeeds. When I said, oh, my daughter is just, it's really difficult. I wasn't expecting it. She's just not sleeping and it's not really going the way I thought. And I'm like, oh, it's karma. Karma, really? Okay, nice. So I was such a shitty child that I deserve to have a difficult child, or I was such a bad person that I deserve this. And I called them on it. I said, that's actually a really harsh thing to say, especially them knowing that I have anxiety, depression, and was experiencing the time, which nobody knew, was P&D. And so to say these things so willy-nilly, and sometimes so innocently, it really hit me. And I was like, really, karma? Like, that's what you're giving me? And they're like, oh, well, we don't mean it like that. But, you know, you're a difficult child, or, you know, you're a difficult adult. Let's dissect that a little bit more. Let's just try and make me feel more crap. When we look at advice, it should be from the point of how can we empower the mother? That what we're really needing is more support, more awareness, more education around the mother, and that you're a human first, you're a woman first, and then you're a mother second. So if you put yourself and your needs first, then that's the priority at the end of the day. The education definitely needs to be to target women before they become mums to get themselves in order, to make sure they feel the strongest they ever can, to get them to know who they are, to connect with their core, to believe in their gut and their intuition. So then when they create and sustain a life, it's an empowering process that's not taking from them constantly.
And the resilience that you talk about, I guess, there that you need to manifest before becoming a mum, you're right, that you do need to make sure that yourself, in yourself, you feel good. Originally, our game plan was to have two kids really quickly. That didn't happen. We've got an almost four-year-old and we both have boys called Hamish, who are almost four. And
yes.
My psychologist, I had postnatal anxiety, and my psychologist said to me, you can't be having a child in the next year, maybe the next 2 years, because we need to work on you first, and you will only exacerbate the issues because you are not strong enough necessarily to withstand all the emotions and all the other shit that goes on when you actually have a child and when you are pregnant and all of those wonderful, great hormones that rush through your system and all those things. So I think it's a very sound advice to say, don't worry about breast or bottle or whatever it is. It's about, is the mum ready to go, and trust your gut. So you have taken what was your experience of parenting and recognised in that perhaps there was a need for a sisterhood to develop or to find your tribe. And you helped facilitate that through the Bad Mums Club. Can you tell me how that evolved?
Been a stay-at-home mum for 4.5 years. And I felt that even though I had a great mother's group and I had supportive friends and family doing the best they can with, you know, all the things, I just felt there was something lacking in the conversations in society. And it was around mental health, and it was around how we acknowledge and recognize and see the impact that motherhood has on one's mental health. So even though motherhood is a choice, it shouldn't be diluted that when we do choose to have children, whether it's being falling pregnant, adopting, fostering, whatever it is, when you decide to be in that role, that the expectations that come literally out of nowhere the moment you have that child in your lap is something that I was not prepared for. And I felt that there wasn't that conversation, especially online, how I can really, really hate being a mum right now, but it doesn't mean that I love my child any less. So I feel like there's enough room in the conversation about how much I am struggling. I've lost complete disconnect with sense of self. I'm going literally crazy, figuratively crazy, and I am crying on the floor. I don't know who to ask. This is what motherhood is. I should just suck it up, all the things. And when we go to say it, when someone asks, we default to saying, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so I want to say, it's okay to say everything else as well. And it does not mean, or I say, you don't need the disclaimer, but I love my kids. It's a given. Yeah. You might not love them 100% on that day. That's fine. Like, we're all human. We're all real. We're not meant to love something 100% all the time, but we love them the majority of the time, and that's okay because they love us the majority of the time.
Well, children, to your point, children are humans too, and I think that gets lost sometimes, that we forget that we're not working with robots, that we get frustrated with ourselves as mums when we go, oh my God, why isn't Hamish following my instructions? And you go, oh, wait a second, because he is his own human as well. So yes. You recognize that. you go, okay, we're all human. We need to feel comfortable to express ourselves if we're not feeling fine. Sometimes we feel great. We want to share those moments too. And the evolution of Bad Mums Club, did that start as a one-to-one experience for you? Did it start as a one-to-many? How did it get birthed?
So I say that Bad Mums Club was my third baby. It's quite interesting how it came to pass, because with absolutely no business, marketing, any kind of background in events or workshops, I was just going to have an events business. Sure, this is something that I wanted to do. There's a definite need for it. I'm just going to go and do it and not realize how hard it is to create and sustain a business model when you're just going with a feeling. So at the same time as building the crew, building the club, I had to learn how to run a business, which I'm still learning, and I'm still retrospectively setting up as I go, because I'm a creative, ambitious soul and I want to do all the fun stuff first. And
oh, that sounds familiar.
Right. Who wants to do admin? It's so boring. So I decided initially Bad Mums Club was a passion project. I had a business called MDC Workshop and Events, and it was M for Mum, D for Dad, C for Children. And I was going to have these passion projects. You know, I had no idea. But I was, these are the things I was going to do. And then I launched the first event in May, 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, I really like this. I'm just going to stick with the passion project just to see how it goes with the event, see what the need is, see all the things. And the more that I did it, the more I saw that women were hungry for a space where it was surrounded by like-minded women who were talking their truth. So not someone's version of truth, their truth. And most of the time, we didn't even talk about the kids. Like, it was great. Come as you are. Leave your children at home. They're taken care of. I want to hear about you. I want to celebrate you. I want to know you. I had a year of that. And then I realized that she actually needed to stand on her own two heels. And I let go of the other two acronyms, and Bad Mums Club was rebirthed. So she officially has been a business for just over a year. Within that, I've had workshops and events. We've got a podcast, and it has been such a cathartic process for myself, which I was not expecting. The growth and the learning that I've had, because I have put myself out there like never before. I love to chat. I'm open, but this was on a whole nother level. And the women who I came in contact with inspired me to keep going. And so you get this beautiful melting pot of empowerment, natural, organic, authentic empowerment. And I'm based in the inner west of Melbourne, but she will grow and morph and evolve, and we'll just see where the club sort of takes us.
I love it. I love that you have given your business the personality, and I can visualize who Bad Mums Club is more than just a name on a page. And that's really important for anyone that works in brand and marketing. So I don't think you give yourself enough credit for a woman who says that you didn't really have a business plan, because I think you've done better than most to bring to life what is a passion project into something a bit more significant. Now, in your work here, you have uncovered a desire to continue to help people.
Yes.
And so now it's time to put pen to paper, and what's your new skill you're learning?
Yeah, so I'm currently training to be a life coach. And within that, I will be specifically targeting to be an empowerment coach for women. So women who feel stuck in the life that is expected of them, and help them and support them to create action towards the life that they want. So we will be bringing out a new coaching element to the club. And the reason was, the inspiration behind it was, that I had these women coming out telling me that they were loving these events and workshops, that they were hashtag living my best life. And I was like, that's great. And then they said, I wish I could have this all the time. Like, I have to go home and I know I've got to breastfeed in 5 hours, or I've got to do the soccer run, or I've got to do the grocery shop. And like, I really want that feeling. And I could identify with that, because being the host, you know, you have that event high afterwards. And then it was like 2 days later, I'd have the event come down and be like, oh yeah, I'm back to wiping bums and sweeping crumbs off the floor. So I really dug into that feeling and I thought, I want to provide more. I want to be for these women more. I want to tap into that feeling that they have, understand why they don't have it, but help them to have it all the time. What's something in their life that they can change, whether it's a mindset or it's a physical thing, that they can live their hashtag best life every single day? I wanted to support them. So when I talk about creating social change by empowering women, it felt really hard for me to look at, I was a part of a statewide mental health campaign last year that ran alongside the Royal Commission into the mental health system. And within that, I saw that I was just such a little fish swimming in a big pond. How could I possibly impact and really create massive social change? So when I got a taste of, okay, here's something that we can do, here's something that I can be a part of that can change the system, that can change the social environment where we openly talk about our mental health. Okay, that's cool. How do I, while we're waiting for that to happen in the year-long process and mothers are falling through the cracks, how can I support the mums that I know? Because I can't help everyone as much as I want to, and I will eventually. But right now, I've got a community, a club of mums that I can help right now. I don't want another mother to fall through the cracks. So I'll just, a couple of stats for you, because I love to drop a few stats in there. So
hit me hard with them.
90% of mothers feel guilty. 90%. Yep. Okay. If we look at Beyond Blue stats around depression, 1 in 6 women will experience throughout their lifetime. With anxiety, it's 1 in 3. So I fall into both of those categories, which is fun. And then antenatal depression is 1 in 10. And for postnatal depression, it's 1 in 6. Now, whenever I talk to my community and I put these stats out there, I roll them out there, I don't do it to be shocking. I want them to realize that they're actually not alone. So that person next to you at school or at the traffic lights, the chances are that they're going through similar. I find the stats to a point, it needs to be done. There's a definite call to action. But it's also very comforting because I'm like, I'm not the only one going through this fog. I'm not the only one stuck in the rut. So then there's this other stat. This is one that really hits home for me and I get very emotional about. But in 2017, the highest rate of maternal deaths was suicide. We are not catching the mothers before they get to the point where there's no other option for them, where they feel completely left alone and they don't have what they need to bring them back. If I can do something for that, then everything, it's all worth it. So every woman who talks to another woman about the reality and the honesty of motherhood is helping another mother come back from the brink. It's bringing them back into society. It's bringing them back into the conversation. It's not good enough that we keep being complacent about the mental health aspect. I have lived this my whole life and really amplified in the last 20 years. I have hands-on knowledge of what it actually feels like for these women. And so I talk about it not from a place of you need to be fixed. It's from a place of acknowledgement. And for me, that's all I ever wanted when I was going through it. I'm allowed to take that breath and realize and understand that I am worthy of more. And it's okay to ask for more. And if the motherhood version is not what you've subscribed to, you're allowed to freestyle the shit out of it. I'm so passionate about it. I go a bit to rant town.
No, it's wonderful. It's so motivating and honest. And I think it's the idea of taking a breath and owning your situation, but also accepting the vulnerability, accepting the empowerment, and accepting all the bits in between those two is also really important to acknowledge, because some women genuinely feel like there is no other option, whereas others who are fortunate like us, who have called it out, have given it a name, have recognized it and said, I want to do something, I'm not going to let this own me. We're fortunate. And if you can, as you said, be a voice for honesty and for women to say, hey, this doesn't have to be the way it has to be. And more than ever, yeah, the thing that really makes me concerned at the moment is the homeschooling thing. So the Australians and the Brits and the Americans and all the countries around the world where primary caregivers have been asked to homeschool their children, but people are complaining about having to parent their kids. And I've seen people have said on Facebook, why are you complaining? They're your kids. You wanted them. It's not necessarily the way that we have raised our children to date. It's not in the cultural norms for us to be with our children 24/7. So it's okay for mothers to say, I'm really struggling with this homeschooling thing or having my child home for 8 weeks straight, and not just dismissing it. And I've noticed a lot of dismissive behavior of late. And I think that there is going to be a huge surge of women who realize that they can't do it all and they have tried to do it all in the last few months.
Yeah. And I feel like it's such a complex issue. It's not as easy as just saying it's one thing or another thing. It's a compounded circumstance. So the reason why we're homeschooling is because of the fear of a pandemic. So we are in now, forced into our homes, which, you know, if this is the way that it's meant to be, that's fantastic. But the impact of being put into a closed environment for a long period of time with that fear in the back of your mind, with the pressure of feeling that you need to do all the things all at once, this is why it's leading to a huge increase in mental health issues. But I honestly believe that these issues that we are facing, it's been underlying in a lot of people, or it's triggered it again for other people. It's brought a lot to the surface and we can't escape it because we're at home. It made me really own my part in how I wanted this to be. So I know that my anxiety ramped up with the fear of corona. What do I need to do? Who do I need to communicate with in my life, my support systems, to help me? Because right now I'm going down that rabbit hole. So I did that. I reached out to my psychologist. I did all of my self-care, which is non-negotiable self-care for me. I own my part. I also decided really early on that I'm not a teacher and I just want to be my daughter's mum. In the first week, it was kind of fun. I was like, oh, we can do all this stuff. I was like, actually, I just don't. We've got homeschooling program. They're the teachers. If they want to correct her work, it's up to them. It's not up to me. So we just go through the motions. We do what we need to do, get it uploaded and done.
And do you think we're being too critical of ourselves?
There's so much more we can progress if we just drop the crap. Like, can we just stop? Like, I know I've said it before, but we're so busy fighting the world, fighting for this, fighting for that. I say now that I've stopped asking. I'm just going to do it, because when I ask, someone tells me no. I'm sick of hearing no. So I'm just going to go and do it. Don't tell me I'm a woman, I can't go and do that. Don't tell me I'm a mother, I shouldn't wear that. Don't tell me I'm a wife, I can't dance like that. I'm going to do and run a business and help and empower women, because that's what's needed. And if I ask for permission, then people tell me that I shouldn't, or I can't, or it won't work, or why would someone want to listen to you? You know, when 3,800 women, mothers, Google, am I a bad mum? I hope they find me.
I hope they do too. I feel like you live and breathe the idea it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, but I think we even need to step away from forgiveness, because we don't want forgiveness. We want acceptance, and it's telling them as opposed to asking and doing what you want to do. And it's incredibly refreshing. It can be confronting for some people to hear. Yeah. And we can't expect everyone to run with open arms at this and try and burst down the door. All we ask is that people take one little step forward. And if they're feeling anything that, particularly in listening to this, if it sounds familiar, or if you are listening going, oh my goodness, I think I need to reach out to someone, whether it's me, whether it's Lisa from Bad Mums Club, whether it's your best friend, your mum, your colleague, your balcony person, whoever it is. I had an amazing educator at work. Angela Heiss is her name, and she's a life coach, work coach, all of those things. And she says, you just need your balcony person, the person you can go out on a balcony with and without judgment, have them listen to you. And equally, you need to be that person for someone else to listen without judgment. And I think that's where your business will take you. It already is. And since the evolution of COVID life and life after COVID, where many people in a room is not necessarily something that we'll be experiencing anytime soon, the power of a Zoom chat is great. There's nothing like having a glass of wine and putting your arm around someone, but we'll get there eventually.
It's little steps. So it's what some things that we can do to hit on this. When we're talking about acceptance from others, no one will ever give you what you don't give to yourself. You need to accept yourself first. Love yourself first. Give yourself permission to be you. Because if we keep reaching outwards for other people, for validation, for gratification, it will never stick. It will feel so empty. And I think that when we allow ourselves to really feel how we're feeling, then we have the ability to ask for help a lot more. And it's okay to feel crap. And it's okay to feel great. One of the things is that the people say, I'm not sick enough to go to formal services. I'm not crazy enough to reach out to Beyond Blue, Cope, all of those. They're not sitting on the other end of the phone when you call and go, what is this girl talking about? Like, who the hell is she think she is? They're there going, thank God you called. You are allowed. You have permission. If you don't have someone within your life that you is your safe person, then call the services. Reach out to the people there who are waiting with open arms to hear your story.
And we will put a link to all those incredible services that are in such a high demand at the moment. As you said, Beyond Blue, Cope, Panda, Lifeline, whatever it is for you, please, if you're triggered by any of this, we always encourage you to pick up the phone or reach out somehow to these services and utilize them. That's what our taxpaying dollars pay for. That's what people's donations into mental health pay for. There are some gaps in the economy at the moment. So I hope that people who are feeling vulnerable and also jobless can recognize that these services don't necessarily have to cost money like a good psychologist maybe. So please use
them. There are lots of bulk billing services and the telehealth services. Scott Morrison has just injected $4.8 million into the mental health conversation. So they are primed and ready to go. And if you can't get through to one, try the next one. You're allowed
to. On a lighter note, I often like to finish the conversation on what's the one piece of advice that you would like to pass on to mums, but I feel like we've really nailed that across the conversation. So what's the thing that you're looking most forward to in the coming weeks when the restrictions are lifted a little bit?
You know, I like simple things. I like to go to the toilet by myself. I like to have a long hot bath without toys floating in there and people knocking on the door. I like to have a hot coffee. I'm a simple girl. Just give me a little bit of alone time and I'm reset. But if I'm really, really honest, I cannot wait to connect with my mums again. It feels like a long time between our events. I've got one in the works, but we're waiting for the green light with the government. But it just feels like I need that in real life connection to check in with them. So that's the next big thing on my, after I have my alone time with my own self, I can't wait to reconnect with my mums.
For those who are looking to find Bad Mums Club, I'm sure you can Google it. You can find you on Facebook and Instagram and your website, badmumsclub.com. Yep. The most important thing, thank you for being open and honest and sharing with us. It has been a fantastic, albeit pretty raw chat today, but that was why Mama Doesn't Tell Lies was born, was to have these kind of authentic chats, to make it okay to say that you don't need to sugarcoat things. Sometimes you've just got to own your truth, know your worth, speak your truth in your words. And yes, I think we've both been very truthful today. So thank you so much for being in season two of the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for having this space for women to give them permission to feel all of this, to know all of this and acknowledge all of this. So I really am so grateful. Thank you.
You've been listening to Mama Doesn't Tell Lies, the podcast sharing nothing but realness about parenting and kiddlywinks. Produced and hosted by me, Chloe Jeffers. True stories by those willing to share.